Well, hello, 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 and happy afternoon to everybody who is joining us live here on TechBeat, on this segment of TechBeat where leaders learn, innovate, and grow. So grateful to have you all with us this afternoon, and really appreciate you taking the time to join us for this chat with my friend, Josh Pitts, about personal branding. Before I bring Josh in with us, I just want to make a couple of quick announcements. First of all, TechBeat is now, we're super excited to announce that TechBeat is now on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, on Pandora, and we are in the process of getting syndicated on Apple right now. So whatever your favorite, you know, music streaming podcast platform is, go look for TechBeat there, subscribe. We are posting a backlog of past segments right now and posting new segments as we do those once they have aired live, just like this one. We'd love your support there. We'd really enjoy having you as subscribers. And with TechBeat in that format, you're able to use it anywhere you're at, on the go, in your car, while you're exercising, throw in your headphones, you can throw it on double speed. In this podcast, we get a massive amount of really cool leaders who have done cool stuff and learned a lot of valuable lessons throughout their entrepreneurial career. I know that, in fact, Josh and I were just talking before we got on here, that one of the things that I love most about doing this podcast is that I learn so much from every guest that comes on. It's massively valuable to myself, and I encourage you to go subscribe, because I think that there's just a ton of really great content with really awesome takeaways that everybody who is part of this community and partakes of this podcast can leverage and benefit from. Let's see. We will have question and answer kind of throughout the hour here and towards the end of the hour. So whatever platform you're joining us on, feel free to comment on that platform or ask questions. Josh and I will do our best to keep an eye on those throughout the hour and get to them throughout the hour or towards the end of it. By the way, my name is Earl Foote. I'm founder, CEO of Nexus IT. I guess I should have said that up front. But Nexus IT is an outsourced white glove IT support services and cybersecurity firm based here in Northern Utah and servicing a nationwide footprint and beyond. I did want to also mention that we have some exciting episodes or segments of the TechBeat podcast coming up here. The first part of next year, we have Shar Ignacio from Hire CXO Pro, Rob Harder, the executive director of the Christian Center of Park City, and Danny Tony of Tonico, who will be joining me as guests in January and February. And we are currently booking out for beyond that. We've got a lot of exciting guests that'll be coming up here on TechBeat. I also wanted to mention, starting in 2022, in January, we are launching a new segment of TechBeat. We are calling TechBeat Bites, 3 on-point business tips in 5 minutes. And so this hour-long, podcast has been really fantastic, really well received by the community. People have a lot of fun with it, but we also know that, in today's world, short consumable content is also very appreciated. And so keep an eye out in January. We will have TechBeat Bites coming up with those 5-minute episodes with some really cool leaders as well and entrepreneurs. So with all of that said, let me bring my good friend Josh Pitts up on the screen here and introduce him officially to all of you. Josh is the founder and CEO, which he calls Chief Enthusiasm Officer. And you're going to find out this is a guy that's got a lot of enthusiasm to go around. Josh is CEO of Shred Media. Josh has spent the last decade in the mortgage and real estate industries. Recently, he has refocused his energy and efforts on Shred Media, building the industry's number one attention and impact agency. Josh built a massive personal brand by doing live interviews every day with top professionals throughout the mortgage, real estate, and banking industries, sharing what they're currently doing to dominate within their own marketplace. Josh, welcome, my friend. So glad to have you here today.
Dude, I'll tell you what, Earl. thank you so much for the interview. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'm excited to hang out with you. Last time I had you in studio, you and I are both here in Utah. We had the opportunity to shred together. I'm so excited to be here on Tech Beats. Thank you for the opportunity. Excited to be hanging out with you for a little while today.
Likewise, brother. Stan, thanks so much for taking the time to be with me today and to share your story. So I know, the topic of the hour, which is something that you've, developed some specific expertise and understanding of, is really, personal branding. And that's been a journey for you, going from being, a real estate mortgage agent and really transitioning into the creative side of that industry and helping your colleagues. But before we kind of dig deeper into that, let's just talk about Josh Pitts as the man, right? Tell us a little bit about, help the audience understand where you grew up, what sort of things you were into as a kid and, as a teenager, what your formative years looked like and how you, ended up in the career you're at, now.
Yeah. Well, my story, I like to have fun for, I live here in Utah, so I love to be outdoors. Like I'm just an outdoor enthusiast. I absolutely love it. It's a ton of fun here. I grew up here in Utah. I grew up in the mountains of Utah. I live up in the Heber area. So if anybody's familiar with Utah, I live up that way. So I'm living literally in the mountains of Utah, which is a ton of fun. And my background, funny enough, Earl, is I kind of did the whole Utah thing. I was going to school. I actually was going to the University of Utah, and I wanted to be a doctor. University of Utah, baby. I was like, hey, I was in pre-med.
Roseville this year. Don't mean to divert you, but yeah, Roseville. Yeah,
baby. Right? Heck yeah.
Against Ohio State. It's going to be a pretty exciting game, man.
All of you fans out there, I'm stoked for that. Can you believe we made a Rose Bowl? How freaking sick is that? That's pretty exciting for us.
Finally, again.
I know. So literally, I was going to school, and I'm like, dude, I can't do this. Like, there's no way I can go. Like, I can't do this many years to be a doctor. So I dropped out. I actually got into medical sales for a short time. I always had that entrepreneur spirit, which is really weird because like my mom was kind of an entrepreneur. She always did some things here and there, but my dad was always that type of guy of like, go to school, get good grades, go to college, go get a good job. And I was just like, I couldn't follow that path. So got into medical sales for a short time, did some other like sales positions, but got introduced to the mortgage industry pretty early on in my career. And had a good friend of mine who owned a mortgage company. And he said, hey, I know you've been working on marketing. You've been working on, using social media. And back then, this was, 2008, 2009, social media was still a relatively new thing. People were still trying to figure it out. They're like, hey, can you come help us grow our mortgage company? Like, help us, like, show us how to use social and how to grow our brand. And I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll come help you out. So went over there and I saw these guys and gals in the mortgage industry they were making tons of money, dude. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, and I see them and I guess I know them. I'm like, if these idiots can make money doing mortgage, I can do this. And again, shout out to all my, the people who helped me get to where I am. Cause it's all those incredible people now that helped me learn the industry. So I got licensed as a mortgage professional. I was like, okay, I'll get my mortgage license. So I got licensed. And then, my very first transaction in mortgage was actually some good friends of mine from high school. And they were using another mortgage company, and they were kind of getting taken advantage of, which was one of the reasons I was excited about it. Was honestly, I got taken advantage of one of my very first mortgage transactions. So I'm like, hey, what can I do to get back? So anyway, so going down the mortgage path, this very first transaction, our friends, like I said, were getting taken advantage of, and we were able to help them get a better interest rate, better closing costs. And at the end of it, Earl, this is what made the difference for me, is I was sitting across from them. And at the end of the transaction, my friend's wife was like crying, literally crying. And I'm like, oh no, I did something wrong. I messed up. Like, what did I do wrong? I'm like, well, I'm so sorry. What did I do? And she's like, you helped me achieve the dream of homeownership. This is the American dream. Like, you helped me achieve that. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, and then it clicked for me, and then I was hooked. And then I'm like, you know what? I get to help people achieve the dream of home ownership. And so that's, I've been doing that. I did that for, 10 plus years, was able to help thousands of families get into a first home or buy another home, refinance. And I really enjoyed it. And then a couple of years ago, I was loving the industry. We owned one of the, bigger, mortgage companies here in the state of Utah, and I was really enjoying it, but I was just looking for new opportunities, looking for ways to grow my brand, looking for ways to help other people. And, the idea of social media, what you and I are doing now, creating a podcast, creating content via social media, was really, really intriguing to me. And we're literally at a mortgage conference with some of like the top executives in the entire industry. And they said, you know, there's a lot of PR firms out there, a lot of traditional marketing companies, but there's nobody who really helps create this style of content. There's nobody who can help like us create video content, who can create us like create like a podcast. And so I said, well, I'll do it. Like, why can't I do it? I'll figure it out. Like, and then, so we literally, if you've ever read the book, Play Bigger, if you've never read it, I definitely recommend the book, Play Bigger, one of my favorite books. I read that book and I said, you know what? I'm going to start my own category. There's not a category I want to be in, so I'm going to go start my own category. So went and created a mortgage impact agency, and here we are. Now we help companies grow their brand, grow their presence, and create great content via social media.
Such a cool story, Josh. You know, and I really admire the fact that, look, like you were, you know, a successful mortgage agent. You owned an agency. You know, business was good for you. You have a family, you know, a wife and kids and your own mortgage, your own home to pay for and your bills and everything. And you had the gumption to go and switch directions, pivot, you know, your career from a mortgage agent guy with, you know, with my brokerage into I'm going to create content for my industry that I know and understand and love. Right. I know it's, you know, every new venture, you know, has its own challenges. It takes some time to get traction. It takes time to get, you know, to get revenue flowing in, you know, and really start to create an ROI. And particularly in your case, you know, catch up with where you were with your, you know, your income previously to, you know, switching strategies here to content. So, first of all, just kudos. That's you know, that takes a lot of, you know, a lot of gusto, you know. You know, tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, just tell us about that journey and your mindset, and you know, maybe some of the struggles and challenges and what you've learned in that process.
Man, it was a struggle. Like I was so, like you said, having a family, going from something I knew so well, like I was so comfortable with, it was a big leap for me. I was like. And of course, my wife has been like the most supportive person ever. She's always supported me. And I've started multiple businesses. I actually, you know, I had a big outdoor company here in the state of Utah for a few years that failed, and she still supported me. And so I said, you know what? I think this could be something really like valuable to the, not only to mortgage and real estate, but just helping. And now we work with, you know, big tech companies and we work with fintech companies. But I was just like, you know what? There's not anybody out there. There's not anybody who's doing this, again, creating a podcast or creating content in this style, helping companies tell their story, helping companies really be able to visualize this. There's a lot of, like I said, a lot of PR companies, a lot of marketing firms who do a phenomenal job. But I was just like, you know what? I'm going to go for it. Let's do it. But honestly, you mentioned this and you and I have both talked about this before. I just started surrounding myself with the right people. I had the right friends. Of course it was scary. And of course I had those people that told me I was a little bit crazy. They're like, you're going to leave this mortgage. Like you're going to leave this thing you know so well and go into something like who do you think you are going into a media? Like you have no media background at all. Like, and you, I always tell people, go look at some of my first videos because they were terrible. I just used this fun little device. I didn't have a cool microphone. I didn't have an awesome camera. I just used my phone. I was just like, oh, and I was just like, oh, we'll figure this out along the way. And then of course it's evolved into what I learned along the way. And that's what everybody listening, whether you love what you do right now, or maybe you're not loving it. Maybe 2022 is going to be that year that you jump into something new and you finally get that little extra push. You learn along the way. Like you have to have that confidence in yourself. You have to surround yourself with the right people to really help you get over that obstacle of making the leap. But don't expect to learn everything all at once. Like it definitely comes with time. And like I've said, now we've got all the fun toys and now we're able to do this. So it's been a lot of fun, to be honest. It's been a learning experience. Plus I know, honestly, if I wouldn't have made the change, I never would have met you. Like Silicon Slopes, like when you and I met the first time at Silicon Slopes a few years ago, I had just started Shred and I was out there, you know, getting to know some of the entrepreneurs here in Utah. I've been, Utah's my home and I thought I knew people, but getting into this space, I just wanted to learn. I wanted to surround myself with great people. And that's where you and I first met. So you never know. I think that's one thing as entrepreneurs, and you and I have both seen this, is we meet people along our way and we meet people along the journey that just are like, I'm just like, hey, and I truly mean this with you. Like, I knew I was meant to meet you in the ways that you and I have become friends and the relationship that we have now and been able to collaborate. Like, don't let fear hold you back from that new adventure, because you never know who you're going to meet along the way. So yeah, man. And I jumped at it and look where we are. You and I are sitting here having fun on a podcast today. So
yeah, I'm so glad you're here with me today. So by the way, you know, I'd mentioned that Josh and I did a podcast on his podcast on the Shred Media podcast. What was it published? Maybe a month ago?
About a month ago.
Yeah. So go check that out, by the way. Go subscribe to what Josh is doing. I know you're super active on Instagram, you know, and other social media channels. But go subscribe. Josh has always got super great content pretty much every single day. And, you know, content that I've learned from. He's just a good guy who's always, you know, sharing a lot of abundance and ideas, and he's sharing, you know, he's bringing a lot of really great leaders onto his, you know, podcast and creating content with them as well. So go check that stuff out. You know, you said a couple of things that are super important. Actually, you know what? You made me realize, you know, Josh, that I got to up my game a little bit. You got that cool mic, you know, with your logo shroud on the mic, you know, the background looks great. I can tell you have one of those little light rings because you got some really nice lighting on your face going on there. I don't have any of that stuff. I got this dumb little Bluetooth mic that I'm using. Anyways, so I'm gonna have to upgrade my game here a little bit.
See, but let's talk about that for just. But you're willing to do it, right, Earl? Like that's not holding you back. Perfection kills progress. You've heard it before, and like that's why I've got so much respect for you. Is because, I mean, do you have all this? No, but you're still doing it. You're still you're still inspiring. So kudos to you, man. Because so many people would overthink it and they'd be like, "Well, if I can't be like Josh, I'm not going to do it." And I would tell, like, start with what you got, and then it will get better. And this show's brilliant. I love it. Look at all the people that are tuning in learning. So kudos to you, man.
Yeah. Well, like you, I started doing my content, you know, on this thing, right? That was my camera, and that was my entire platform for creating and publishing content. And of course you get more sophisticated, and that's the thing. Like, I think it doesn't matter what your venture is. So many people feel like you can't go to market until you have perfection. And that's something I've struggled with. I'm a perfectionist. I grew up in a home, you know, of perfection. Like, everything was always, you know, like 100%, you know, in my mom's home. Like, there was never a speck of dust anywhere. And, you know, everything was always regimented and programmed out. And you know, everything was just always going to be, you know, on point. And so for me to kind of understand this and ultimately make it a part of who I am, what I do, you know, of just, you know, kind of the quickest to the gates, right? Who can get there as fast as possible? It doesn't have to be pretty all the time. Like, it's okay. Like, you know, get your ideas out there, get what you're working on out there. If it's an MVP, you know, whatever that might be, get it out there. In fact, and I've mentioned this a few times recently, but a recent book I read, and I always like it when guests share books. I just made note of yours, Play Bigger. So I'm going to check that out, Josh. But a recent book that I read was Masters of Scale. And really, they talked about how the failure of a lot of, you know, ventures, and this is a more tech venture sort of, you know, type of book, but the principles are applicable to any venture. But, you know, they talk about how the failure starts in waiting too long to launch a product, like working too hard for perfection. You know, you just got to get something out there. You got to start getting feedback from your audience, from your, you know, from your market, and you got to start iterating, right? And that's what it is. Okay, you start on your cell phone, like you, and you know, ultimately you end up with fancy lights and a fancy microphone, and you know, you look really great on camera. I can tell your camera's. I'm using a 4K camera, but yours is nicer than this one. There's no doubt about that. So
I think you look good, man. You make it look dang good, Earl. Let's just be honest. You look
I appreciate that, but you know, you look way better than I do at the moment. So but I appreciate the compliment. Anyways, yeah, just, you know, that idea I think is so important. It doesn't matter where you start somewhere, In fact, that Master of the Scale book says basically, if you're not embarrassed by your first iteration, then you started way too late. Like, put something out there that can potentially even, you know, embarrass you. You want feedback. You want, and you've got to change your mindset as an entrepreneur to be like, you know, my philosophy that I've adopted and that I teach our entire team is that all feedback is positive. It doesn't matter what the giver of the feedback feels about, you know, about that feedback, whether they think it's negative or positive. For me, all feedback is positive because it's an opportunity to evaluate if there's a blind spot, if there's a gap, if there's something that can improve, right? Sure, some feedback you evaluate and you go, you know, I mean, it's an opinion and maybe I don't share the opinion or maybe it's not 100%, you know, applicable in the scenario. But most feedback gives you a really good opportunity to improve upon what you're doing, how you're doing it, right? So you got to be open and vulnerable as an entrepreneur and willing to put yourself out there, which isn't always easy. Particularly, I'm an introvert. I'm a natural introvert, you know, so it's not easy to always do that, but it's important. So let's talk a little bit. Let's dig a little bit into personal branding. I know that this has been a really important part of your journey, the things that you've learned, and you know, really what you're helping you know, your clientele do is to really create a personal brand that translates into business opportunity for them. So let's talk a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about your relationship and your how you've learned about that and the evolution, you know, that you've learned through that.
Yeah, of course. Personal brand is one of those things that, like most, I've just learned by putting myself out there and figuring out along the way and making mistakes. I love, you know, what you're saying too. Like, your first few videos that you're going to make, they're not going to be perfect. Like, they're going to be so bad. You're going to learn from them. You're going to get better from them. But I mean, just be willing to make those mistakes in the beginning. When I started going down that brand or like that journey of like creating brands and creating a personal brand, at first I was like probably most when I thought a brand and branding were the same thing, but they're very, very different. Branding is like a logo. It's like you see here, all the shred and your tech beat, the logo and all that. That's branding, colors, schemes, things like that. That's branding. But your brand, your personal brand especially, is what people say about you when you're not in the room. I'll say that again. Your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. It's relationships. It's the connections. It's the trust, the respect that we build with people. That's really your brand. And that's what you're trying to portray as you're creating content, as you and I are doing this. People know who you are, Earl. They connect with you in a way. People know who I am. And that's what you're trying to, as you go out and to create content, you can't overthink content. Like, if you're trying to go out and create content that's like me or like Earl, that's not going to correlate for you and for your brand, because people know who you are. If you try to be Earl Foote or if you try to be Josh Pitts, people are going to be like, well, why are you doing that? Why are you trying to be like that person? You're you. So think about your brand as you start to build a brand, as you start to make, you know, if you decided that 2022, you're going to take on like, hey, I know I need to be creating more content. I know I want to, you know, get new opportunities. I know I want to inspire other people or whatever it may be. Start thinking about your brand in that way. It's what people say about you when you're not in the room. What, when you ended that transaction, whether you're in tech, whether you're in finance, whether whatever background you have, why do your friends hang out with you? Your friends don't hang out with you, you know, because you sell whatever product you sell or whatever company you're with. That's not, they don't hang out with you for that reason. They hang out with you because they love you. They hang out with you because they respect you, because you're cool. So start thinking of creating content and building your brand in that way. Start sharing the things that you actually enjoy sharing. The biggest mistake that I see for most people when they start to create content on social media, whether it's a podcast or whatever it may be, is they think they need to start selling immediately. They're like, oh yeah, well, I need to tell people about my product, or I need to tell people about what I do. That's going to come with time. Like, that's going to happen. But start sharing the things that you're excited about. What are some of your hobbies? What are some of the things that you're going to be able to connect with people on a personal level about? Like, you and I, like, we both went to the U, like, we're youths. Like, we're, you know, that's something you and I connect on. There are other people who are going to connect on that same level with you and I. There's our friends to the south, the people who, you know, in blue that may not, but, you know, that's okay. But here's the thing with that too, is it's okay not to connect with everybody. Like, it's really okay. It's okay to have, some people call it your tribe. I call it your squad. It's the people that we really, really connect with, and they really, really connect with us. Like, those are the people we're trying to, you know, go deeper and have a better relationship with anyway. you're not trying to get the entire world. You don't need the entire world to, you know, to grow your brand. So focus on those people that you have, you know, something in common with, and whether it's gardening, whether it's crocheting, knitting, snowboarding, Utah, whatever it may be, find those mutual connections, or find those mutual points that you guys have together. And that's where brand really starts to like differentiate itself.
Yeah, man, really great ideas and tips there. There's so much to dig into and talk about. By the way, you know, just thank you everybody for being here again. Some really great comments coming in. Monty McAllister says perfection kills progress. I totally agree. Absolutely, you know, 100% true. Doug Stoddard is saying that your volume's a little low. It sounds fine to me. I don't know if you can up your volume just a little bit, just in case, Josh. But on my side it does sound fine. Anyways, I would definitely recommend go find the podcast that Josh did with me, you know, again, a month ago. There's so much in there on building personal brand. I don't want to, you know, be redundant with that, but there is some stuff that I think is really important to talk about. And first of all, I guess people ask, why would you build a personal brand? Why does it matter? Should you build a personal brand? And really, I think it comes down to a matter of, you know, personal preference and certainly industry. You know, we're in a world today where people identify with people. It's not that that hasn't always been the case, but I think that, you know, 30 or 40 years ago, you could be somewhat of a faceless corporation and people would do business with you. And I don't think that's the case in today's world. In fact, that's been one of my secrets to success, is to finally figuring out after really a decade or, you know, nearly 12 years in business of, you know, doing fine, but didn't really like hit stride and massive growth until I figured out that because I'm an introvert and I wanted to stay behind the scenes of the business, I didn't want to, you know, be out in the public eye. By the way, creating my first video or creating my first piece of content, whether that was written or voice or video, was absolutely terrifying for me. Absolutely terrifying. And it's not that it's massively easier now, but once you have some repetition for many years, you know, and you start doing more and more in terms of, you know, appearing in the public eye more and more, that might be, you know, TV or radio or media or print or whatever it might be, you get more accustomed to it. Even if you are an introvert, you just got to start somewhere. Right. And it's scary. It is absolutely scary, but you keyed in on something really important there, Josh. And that is, you don't need everybody to identify with you or your content or your message. Right. You just need the ones who get it, right? What you are saying and what you put out there relates for them, and they like it and they want to be part of that, right? And you're going to have detractors. You're going to have haters. It doesn't matter. Like, frankly, it doesn't matter. There was a time when I would get some, you know, some snide comments and, you know, some things that, you know, on social media and stuff. And for a while, it would kind of hurt my feelings. And I'd be like, well, why am I doing this? Why did I post this stuff? If there's just going to be mean trolls out there who are going to, you know, tear it down. Right. And, you know, after a while, you just kind of come to the realization that it doesn't matter. Those aren't the people that you care about anyways. If they don't care about you and don't identify with what you're doing, that's okay. Like, it's cool. They're in their lane. Let them be in their lane. You do your thing. You be in your lane. And I promise there are people who will identify with what you're doing, what you're creating, right? So just go for it. Go ahead, Josh. You had a comment there?
Yeah, to that point, Earl, that is so powerful, because most of the time when we get those trolls, when we get those people who want to be negative, honestly, this sounds so cliche, but they're just jealous. They wish they could be doing, like, they wish they could have that fearlessness to go out and do what we're doing. Most of the time, like, they just are so hung up, but they're so stuck and they're so worried about themselves. That's the only reason they're giving you a hard time. I always tell people, if you get, most of you won't ever experience that. You won't experience the trolls. You may to a very little extent, but, you know, it's not till you get so much further in your career down as you do more and more content that you'll get some naysayers, you'll get some haters. And I always tell people, like, let that fuel you. And honestly, those people should, like you said, Earl, they shouldn't matter. Like, they're just trying to tear you down because they know they can't do what you can. Like, that should show you that you're on the right path. And when it comes to creating content, along with what you're talking about, so many of us think that you know, creating content is something we actually have to go think a lot about. Like, we actually have to like, hey, I'm gonna go create this content. Some of the most valuable content, some of the most valuable things and people that I follow, like you, like when I watch TechBeat or I watch the content that you put out, I watch it because I really like, I connect with you. I love watching you. I love the person that you are. Now, is the conversation always as valuable to me about IT or this or that? No, not always, but I enjoy the human being. So think of that when you're creating content, people connect with us. Like you said, it's human beings connecting with human beings. That's ultimately what it's all about. And sometimes it's simply like, maybe you make somebody smile. Maybe that's why they watch your content. Maybe it's not because you have the best IT, or maybe it's not, you have the best, you know, media company. Maybe it's purely because they just like you and you make somebody smile. That in and of itself can be the most valuable content that you put out. Maybe you just have a unique trait or ability to make people smile in a way. And that's more valuable than any sale, any product, any program, any service that you could ever provide.
Yeah, there's two pieces there that I think are just really important. First of all, and you mentioned this earlier, but don't start off by selling. Like, the market doesn't identify with that right now. And besides that, I mean, it's just not the right way to approach people in the market. Start off by figuring out how to add value. How do you help, right? How do you do something that's impactful and important and meaningful? And to do that, and you know, actually, one of our guests today, Lee Barnard, he says on LinkedIn, as an entrepreneur, it's really important to find yourself. I remember asking myself, what am I about? What do I believe in? And how am I different than the others? Great topic. Keep up the great work. Thanks, by the way, Lee. We appreciate the support here, and we appreciate you tuning in for this hour. And that's, you know, you and I actually talked about this on the podcast we did together. You have to figure out how to be your genuine self. And sometimes that means you have to do some deep introspective work, right? You really got to figure out who you are as an individual, and you got to figure out, what is my unique value? What do I do different than everybody else? Why, you know, where can I really hone in on some of my talents, on some of the things, some of the gifts that I might have, and how can I use those things to resonate with other people and to help other people, right? When you start there, I can tell you 100%, people identify, with somebody who's genuine, who's authentic, and in many ways is altruistic, right? If you're looking to truly help other people and add value, sooner or later, you're going to have a following. Sooner or later, you're going to have people who want to see or listen to or read or consume your content, and they're going to support it, and they're going to want to be a part of it, right? And yes, the opportunities will come to highlight, you know, your business and what you do and how you solve problems and what solutions you offer. But don't start there, right? And never make it overly self-promotional in the process. You always got to keep things, just kind of tactful, cool, clean. You know, how do you help? How do you add value? How do you be real? And that's kind of what I found to be important in my journey anyways. Here's a question, you know, as somebody who is, you know, producing content and particularly generally publishing that to a wider audience, oftentimes an audience that you don't have a personal relationship with, you're publishing across social media, YouTube or, podcast channels, whatever it might be. You might have viewers, you might have supporters that you've never met, or you have honestly no idea who that person really is. So let's talk about a little bit about the difference between digital attention and in-person attention, and maybe what's more impactful or how you can be impactful in both arenas. What have you learned there, Josh?
Man, I love this. I love going down this road because this is something I get asked a lot, and especially in this new world, as I like to call it, this post-COVID world, or still living in this world. So many people always ask me this. Well, like, Josh, is creating content, is being, you know, on social media, being relevant on social media, is it as impactful as actually having like a one-on-one, like in-person relationship? And no, it's not. There's nothing that compares to like an in-person. Like, I mean, let's just be frank. to be honest. I mean, could we have kids and procreate if we didn't have in-person relationships? No, let's go on there. Like, come on, people, let's just get real. No, of course not. But some of the deep, like the most long-lasting relationships that I have were created first on social media. And I mean that. A lot of the friends, like the executives that I now get to hang out with here in Utah, across, you know, the country in mortgage and real estate, I met via social media. And it all starts there. So I always tell people, it's an opportunity to start a relationship. It's an opportunity to connect, just like you were talking about, Earl, to connect with somebody, and then you can further that relationship. You can start to get to know them on a more personal level. You can start to get to know them on a more intimate level. And that's how it really, this new digital age. I mean, look what Facebook, now Meta. I mean, if you really want to see where the new digital age is going, Facebook, Meta, is trying to create a world where we all interact virtually, where we all engage on a digital scale. So yes, the world is going to that. And yes, there are going to be opportunities to create new relationships, but that's why this is so fun. That's why there's so much opportunity within the virtual and digital space, is because you have such an opportunity to reach such a wider audience. Actually, I'll share this example. I actually did a podcast earlier today, the podcast you were on, Brandon Shred. I had a guest and we recorded an episode with our good friend, Karen Carr. And if you guys, I'll give her a plug just because she's Karen Carr. Go check her out on YouTube. She's a brilliant YouTube strategist. But her and I were talking about this, is she gave this analogy about fishing. If you're out on a boat, if you're out fishing and you have one line in the water, if you have one line, just one line, one bait, one hook in the water, you have an opportunity to catch one fish, like one fish at a time. That's it. But then you've seen these chart, like these big fishing charters or these big boats that have like 50 poles out, have all these lines in the water. You have an opportunity to catch 50 fish at a time. You have an opportunity to impact, to change 50, you know, basically 50 people's lives all at the same time. That's why social media, and that's why this new digital age, creating content, sharing what we love, sharing our hobbies, sharing these things like you and I are doing now, you have an opportunity to impact more people's lives at a time. That's why I love social media. And that's why I think this new digital age, this new virtual age that we continue to see get more and more attention, get more and more relevant. That's why I think people need to get started in it more, is because the impact that you and I have on people, what's so cool is Earl has an opportunity. Earl has him in particular, he has the opportunity to impact and change people's lives in a way that I can't. I have an opportunity to change and impact people's lives in a way that he can't. Each of us have this unique God-given gift and ability and these traits to change people's lives and to change certain people's lives that, yeah, again, that only we can do. And that's why I think creating content in this digital world, you get to get that opportunity. You get that at bat. You get to first meet them there, and then that relationship will grow from there. So everybody listening, people always in it, Earl, I'm sure you've heard this. I'm sure when you first started creating content, some of like, you're, again, if anybody knows Earl here in Utah, he's a pretty prominent person here. Like, people know who Earl is. He's a pretty respected guy. I'm sure when you first started creating content, people looked at you like, really, Earl? Like, are you going to be one of those guys? You're going to be an influencer. You're going to be one of those guys creating content. And so many people look at it and they look at us as almost doing it from a selfish place. Like, oh, you want to be a celebrity. Oh, you want to be an influencer, do you? Like, and they think of it as such a negative thing. I look at it as the opposite. I look at the people who aren't doing what you and I do, who aren't putting themselves out there, who aren't, you know, pushing themselves to, you know, in an uncomfortable way. And I think they're the selfish ones who aren't doing it, because again, we each have an innate ability.
The talents to share.
Yeah, we all have an innate ability to change people's lives. Maybe just one thing that you said could just impact one person a day, maybe even less, maybe one person a month. But if you're impacting one person a month, that's incredible. Just imagine you're changing one person's life a month by sharing the content, by sharing your smile, by sharing your abilities that no one else can give. So instead of, like, again, like you shared earlier, instead of giving people a hard time or you know, looking down on somebody because they're trying to build a brand, because they're trying to create content, you shouldn't look negatively. You should be applauding. You should be supporting them because, again, they're doing something that most people aren't willing to do. So this whole, going back to your original question there, this new age of like digital and virtual attention, I think it just begins to create that relationship, so that one day when, you know, you meet that person in person, it's just going to, you already know them. You already trust them. You already like them.
Yeah, no, totally, 100%. And I, like you, I've made really good friends, like deep interpersonal relationships that have started virtually and that, you know, later I've met at some event or, you know, some conference, whether it be here locally or, you know, in other places nationally, right? That have become, you know, some of my greatest confidants, right? And some of the people that I trust at a very high level. And I think it's so important. You can never really forget, you know, that the importance of connecting with people on a personal level, right? Whether it be, and yes, you know, in this type of medium, sometimes you can connect with, you know, dozens or hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of people. And if you learn how to tap into your authentic self, then you can do that on a personal level, whether you're broadcasting to the masses or you're sitting down face to face and having, you know, coffee or hot cocoa or lunch or something with, you know, with somebody, and giving them individual time. Right. I think it's just so important. You have to remember that, like, again, what the purpose behind it all is. And, you know, and I got to say, like you mentioned, and I myself have been critical of influencers. I think that some people operate from my opinion, the wrong premise, right? And it's my opinion, whether it's their opinion or whether it's not, it's simply my opinion. But, the whole kind of stigma around an influencer for me is a little bit challenging, particularly when the motives potentially aren't altruistic. You know, first of all, I just need to encourage people, make sure that your motives are lined up. And for me, this wasn't about, I didn't start this journey. My company had been producing content for, you know, 15 plus years when I started to get really visible. Right. And honestly, I didn't start doing it for any, you know, personal purpose or personal gain. The whole genesis behind it for me was, I was a relatively seasoned entrepreneur that had created some success, right? I was 18 or 20 years into my journey, and a part of several startup communities. I like to support, you know, and be involved in startup communities. The energy there is fantastic. The ideas, you know, seeing what's happening in innovation, in tech, being kind of part of that whole thing. I really, really dig and love that. And I was having a lot of, younger or, up and coming entrepreneurs who were coming to me and asking for, you know, asking questions and advice. And, as I was a younger entrepreneur in my journey, I didn't go to business school. You know, I don't have an MBA. I have an engineering degree. I started in civil engineering, not in technology, not in IT engineering, but I made a shift. 23 years ago, having a network of mentors and coaches and startup communities or community in general wasn't as prevalent. And I had a hard time finding information that would help make me successful, right? And so I started getting a lot of these, budding entrepreneurs, you know, coming up and asking me questions, whether that be over LinkedIn or in person or via email. And so I just decided, you know what, I'm going to start to share some ideas with the community. So rather than, you know, answering one-on-one, I'm going to start to share some entrepreneurial ideas, some leadership ideas, some lessons I've learned over my, you know, over a couple of decades. And hope that they're valuable, that they help some people, right? And really, that's the genesis behind what has created now TechBeat and a lot of the thought leadership content that we create and put out there. And yes, some people think, okay, this is weird. Why is an IT, you know, support and cybersecurity company creating, leadership and entrepreneurship related content? And frankly, I was, you know, the strategy, you know, was, should this just be, you know, a personal effort and in no way related to my business brand whatsoever? But I found that it's been massively valuable. It's been valuable to our clients, to our partners, to our community. Unequivocally, and I won't lie, it has created a significant amount of business opportunity. I can pin nearly tens of millions of dollars of revenue to a very, a very thoughtful approach to thought leadership, right? And creating valuable, value-added content. And so that's, you know, if you're questioning and wondering if you should create, you know, a really a personal brand and a strategy behind it. And I'm not, and I have no problems with the people who are, you know, they create a personal brand for ulterior motives, like I'm selling a coaching program or I'm selling books or seminars or whatever it might be, right? That isn't me. That isn't what I'm doing. Like literally, we put content out there to try to add value to the community, right? We want to be more, you know, we have a whole marketing kind of campaign, More Than IT. We want to be more than just, you know, an outsourced help desk and cybersecurity company. We want to have significant impact on the businesses that are partners with us, right? And if our content can help do that, then I'll be it, right? And if we can go beyond that and help the community, fantastic, right? That's part of our journey, and that's part of how it started for me, and you know how the evolution has kind of occurred.
Dude, Earl, you like gave me goosebumps there, dude. When you said More Than IT, like that is like such a cool, like that mindset. But it's guys like yourself and people like yourself who understand that they have been given an opportunity to share value, to change people's lives. There is no ulterior motives. Did you, when you first set out on this journey, was it like, hey, we need to drum up more business for Nexus IT? No, like both you and I think in the same way. And again, people who are trying to become influencers and who are trying to go down that route, hey, to each their own. But for all those who are listening, number one, it's a very difficult road to go down. If you want to become an influencer, if you want to become a star, a celebrity, if you will, it's very difficult. Like we've done a lot of data and analytics behind those type of people. And not only is it a difficult journey, but it's a lonely journey. Like it does become self-aggrandizing where you're just like, hey, I'm doing this for look at me. When you do it from a true place, like you've done, Earl, with Nexus IT and how we do a Shred, like we just want to give back to the community. We want to give back. We've been blessed. We've been so very fortunate in business, and we've been surrounded by so many incredible people. And look at your show. Look at the people that you're able to bring on. Look at the people that the guests that you and I have on our shows and the value that we're able to share with our communities and with our audience, it in turn is helping them. It's in turn helping and giving back to those communities. So I echo your words of really being able to do it from the right place. And like you've done, like you shared, one of my favorite analogies is you give a man a fish, feed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. What you and I are doing is we like to share because we're hopefully in efforts of teaching others to go and do it. We would love for others to go and take, you know, see what we're doing and say, hey, you know, this is great. I'm going to go start my own podcast. I've got something valuable to share. I got something that I want to give back to the community from people that have, you know, given, have helped me so much. I want to share a little bit with this. But going back to something you and I have both referenced, don't just share something because you're hoping to get business from it. If that is your ulterior motive of like, hey, this is a great marketing opportunity, I'm going to go and promote my businesses the way, people can see through that. People have what I call a BS meter, and that BS meter starts going there. It's like, like, nope, he's just trying to get more sales out of me. He's trying to get more revenue out of my pocket. So come from an authentic place. You mentioned that word. A lot of people, you know, they say the word authentic and genuine are being used too much. But when it comes to building a brand, it's just so true. You have to be you. You have to be genuine. You have to be authentic. Because as soon as the community or the people see that you're doing it, like you're doing it from like the wrong place, you're just trying to, you know, increase that bottom revenue line, people, they turn off. Like they're like, nope, never mind, forget about it. And once you lose that audience, it's gone. Like it's incredibly difficult to gain the trust and the respect of people, especially via social media, because there's a lot of crap out there. There's a lot of noise out there, Earl. You and I both know this. Like, and if you start to fall into that noise, it's almost impossible to get them to ever listen again.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, totally. 100%. That's such good advice. I hope everybody listened to that. You know, so many good points there. So our buddy, Josh Jemias, which by the way, Josh, thanks for being a religious viewer, you know, attendee here on TechBeat. You're here for every segment and, you know, your support is very much appreciated. And Josh is in marketing himself, has a cool agency also. He asked, what are your favorite ways to collaborate with other brands when it comes to content creation? What do you think, Josh?
Oh man, there's so many ideas. I mean, look what Earl and I are doing right now. I've got a company, Shred Media. He's got Nexus IT. We're collaborating. We're doing a podcast. We're sharing value. This is one way. And this is why I tell companies to do this type of content, is you're able to bring two great people. Have either one of us done a promotion for our company? Have either one of us said, hey, this is why you need to use Nexus IT and we can do it? No. Like, we're just having a valuable conversation. This is probably some of the best ways for companies and brands to collaborate. Thus, why we work with some of our clients and they come to us. Some people just don't want to do their own podcast. Some people don't want to go down that route. But this is a great way to collaborate together. I also love Josh. And hey, Josh, I love the name, by the way, too. Josh is always make it right. That's how I've always said it. But Josh, to your question too, is like, find. I love collaborating, like here in Utah in particular. You know this, Earl, as much as I do. There's some really great companies. We've got some great food. We got a lot of great local businesses. I love collaborating with those people because they're in my backyard. It's easy to collaborate with them. I can bring somebody like Earl. Earl was in my studio last month. He came up and hung out in my studio. We created content together. So I'm not saying you have to go out and create a studio, but again, you can use this little device, go to their office, maybe, you know, just create some fun content, have a valuable conversation, get to know somebody a little bit better. That, in my opinion, is a great way to create content together. What do you think, Earl?
Oh yeah. So I think definitely highlighting, you know, people that are in your circle of influence, people that you respect, you know, you love, you know, having an opportunity to highlight them as an individual, as an entrepreneur, as a leader. And obviously you know, in the end, you end up highlighting their business as well. And that can be, you know, it can be in a verbal podcast, it can be in a video, you know, podcast like this, it can be in shared blog content. We do a lot of joint produced events with a lot of our, you know, partners and colleagues and that kind of stuff. You know, we did in September, we did a really great lunch and learn that had, you know, some fantastic engagement, you know, a lot of people really interested in the topic of, we did a lunch and learn on the new Utah Cybersecurity Affirmative Defense Act. So new law that was passed in, you know, into law in the last legislative session that, you know, helps Utah businesses in terms of liability when it comes to a breach. And it's something that businesses need to know about, right? They need to know so they can leverage the law. And so we produced a lunch and learn all about, and we brought in Romaine Marshall from Armstrong Teasdale, who is literally one of the, he's local here, but one of the nation's leading cyber attorneys. And, you know, he did a deep dive into the law and what it means for Utah businesses and how they take advantage of it. And we talked about, you know, the whole strategy behind it and everything. It was very valuable content. And we were able to, you know, highlight several different partners in the process. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, Josh, just like, and that's the thing for me that has actually been very relieving in having a value added content strategy, is that you no longer really have to self-promote your brand very much, right? Yes, you need to educate the public about what your business does and how you do it and what your value propositions are, right? But that sort of process can be far more genuine, in my opinion, you know, when you have a content strategy game that is added, you know, that is very impactful to the community, right? We have a ton of business opportunity that comes to us just, you know, based upon the fact that we are creating thought leadership that people consume and that is valuable to them, right? And maybe they don't understand 100% exactly what our business does or how we add value, but when they have a technical related problem or a cybersecurity related problem, where do they reach out? They come to us, right? And it's been an absolute game changer for us, you know, in recent years and in our strategies. Now, yes, there's an ulterior motive there, right? I'm not trying to be disingenuous in that process. I did start, you know, this entire strategy or this entire game, you know, based upon the need, or I saw a need for the community to be able to have more information, more content that they could consume, right? But it has had significantly wider impacts than just that. And besides that, it's gotten, you know, it has put me into a lot of conversations and circles that have expanded my opportunities and possibilities, and thereby those of my company that I wouldn't have had otherwise. Right. So Josh, thanks for the question again, buddy. So we're coming down to our last, you know, 4.5 minutes here, Josh. You know, maybe let's just wrap with some of your biggest, you know, thoughts on this topic of personal brand. And I realize we wanted to get more into the story of the business and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to have time today, but that'll be for the next segment when I have you back again. But, you know, what are some of the final parting thoughts that you have on creating a personal branding strategy, how you can tie that into, you know, a business branding strategy, and some of the biggest lessons you've learned, you know, in your tenure of doing this?
I mean, what you just said, first and foremost, it's been an honor to hang out with you today, to share the value that we have. This is why I love having conversations, because both you and I get a riff off of what each other are talking, like the value that you've added during this segment, the value that we get to share with the audience, the great questions from Josh and Adam and Lee and everybody that's been involved today. Like, huge shout out to everybody and to your engaged listeners. But I would just leave everybody with this going into this next year. If you're starting to create a brand, like we've kind of already shared, you need to start thinking about it in a way from a real standpoint of like, what do I really enjoy sharing? And most of us, and I mean this, most of us aren't like, you're not going to want to start just sharing your business right out the gate. Most of us are not in a place where, and even if you're so passionate, if you love what you do so much, that is awesome. But if you come out and you're like, you know what, I want to create a brand. I heard Earl, I heard Josh, they talked about building a brand, and I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go build a brand in real estate or whatever, in insurance and in sales as the best car salesman. You don't, your first video doesn't come out and want to be kind of like, hey guys, I'm, you know, Josh and I'm a car salesman here at, you know, ABC Auto, and you want to come down and come buy a car for me. That's not how you build a brand. Start sharing experiences. And this is something very personal. And you and I talked about this on last time you and I spoke, is whether you decide to share actual personal information, whether you're like sharing stuff about you, your family, your hobbies, the things that, again, the things that you really do, the things outside of work. That's where I started. I tell people a lot, my story, a lot of it came from when I was in mortgage, I was known as the outdoor LO. I loved to be the outdoor loan officer. I loved the outdoors. I loved hiking. I loved riding bikes. I loved boating, anything outdoors. That was me. And that's what I started sharing with the world. Most people had no idea that I was a mortgage professional. I just started sharing my adventures in biking. I started sharing my adventures climbing, hiking in the back mountains of Utah. And I started getting into groups of like hikers and bikers. And then you, like you mentioned just a second ago, Earl, they got to know me on a personal level, and they're like, hey, Josh, by the way, what do you actually do? And that's when, it's once I built that relationship with them that I was like, hey, you know, it will come with time. Another book that I absolutely love that we'll kind of wrap here up on is, if you've never read the book, Jab, 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 Right Hook by Gary Vaynerchuk. Probably one of my favorite books. Unfortunately, it's not on Audible. I wish it was, but he actually talks about why it's not. If you read that book, you'll understand. There's some visuals and some things in there, but the book is basically this: is a boxer or a fighter. If any of you fighting fans or boxing fans out there, if you understand fighting, when two opponents get into the ring, they start to throw these little jabs. They kind of dance around, you know, they're jabbing. They're getting to know their opponent. They want to know what they're about. They want to know the physical abilities. They want to know how far they can kind of reach. And then once they've kind of get to know their opponent, there comes a time in the match where they throw that right hook. They throw that haymaker. They're coming at that opponent with everything they got because they want to land that hook. They want to land that punch and hopefully knock him out. It's the same exact concept when it comes to creating content. You're not like, if you just throw that right hook at first, like we've said, and say, hey guys, look at me, I'm creating content because I want more sales. I want more revenue. I want more business. You know, this is why, like, look at my cool company. I do this, and this is how I can serve you. People are going to shut you out. People are going to be like, nope, like, I am not interested in what you have to share and what you have to sell. But if you just start sharing you, if you start sharing your life, you start sharing who you are, your story, we as human beings are going to connect with you. We're going to see that story. And I'm going to be like, man, Earl, that dude's cool. Like, I want to get to know him better. I want to get to know his hobbies better. So that's what I would share as kind of parting words and as kind of parting thoughts with everybody, is really come from, as you start to create your brand, as you start to go on this journey, and it is a journey. It's not going to happen overnight. Earl, you mentioned this. You've been doing this for years now. You and I have both been doing this for a long time. Whether you have one viewer, 100 viewers, or 10 million viewers, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, you are just in it to share and be valuable to the people around you, because you're at one time or another, you're going to impact somebody's life. You're going to change somebody's life for the good. And you just have to continue. You have to stay consistent with it, continue to share valuable content, continue to interact and share value when you can. That's it. That is this journey of creating a brand. And I guarantee as you do it, you're going to have fun along the way. And if you have questions along the way, reach out to Earl and I. We're pretty open book. We want to help you guys on this journey as well.
Yeah, 100%. Josh, thank you so much for, you know, sharing this hour with me, with you know, the audience here. We just got a comment. This says LinkedIn user. I apologize. We don't have a name on this one. It says this has been so good. Thank you, Earl, for the invite. Thank you, Josh, for the content. You know, and I just got to say, you know, to reiterate what you've touched on, we're slightly over time here, but I think things are going really well. Just, you know, figure out how to incorporate who you are as an individual and outside of the office with your content. There are so many ways to tie in, you know, your passions outside of the office, the things that you're into, the things that you love, the things you do, into business related content. You can figure out metaphors, you know, you can figure out parallels between the lessons you learn in your hobbies and in your talents, you know, and how they apply to business. And you can share those, you know, in thought leadership, whatever that content looks like. And that's the thing, like people, even here, you know, even on LinkedIn, people don't like boring, bland business content. Like, how often are you going to go read, you know, some 10-page, you know, article that's just really drab and bland? But when you're incorporating a human element, an authentic human element of a real person that has unique interests and unique talents, and you figure out how to kind of tie that all into, you know, your content, your message, that's where you're going to find a lot of success. One other, you know, just parting piece of advice is you got to also figure out as you build a business brand, if your business is not you, right? If it's not specifically you as a person, maybe if you're a mortgage agent, like the business is just you, right? But if the business is not just you, you also have to figure out how to not overshadow your business brand with your personal brand. You need to make it complementary. You need to figure out how, you know, that personal brand also supports the business and, you know, becomes an important part of it. Maybe, you know, maybe that means you need to segregate it out. Maybe there's a personal brand for a reason. You know, maybe it is a coaching program or, you know, a book or something. And maybe you have a business that does something different, right? Anyways, just, you know, a few pieces of advice. Want to thank everybody who's joined us here this hour. It's been an awesome conversation. Josh, thank you so much again, my friend, for sharing your abundance, your experience, your knowledge, your tips, and, you know, everything that you've learned with the audience today. Really appreciate it. Just want to remind everybody, go look for TechBeat on Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, Google, soon to be Apple, and then any Podbean, any other, you know, massive or any of the other major, you know, podcast channels. Go look for us there. Subscribe. Come back in January for our segments, you know, coming up, TechBeat and TechBeat Bites. And I'd be remiss if I didn't wish everybody a super happy holiday season for you and yours. May the rest of 2021 be beautiful. May it be bright. And may 2022 bring all of your wildest dreams, you know, to you and those that you love. Really wishing the best to everybody in this time of year and this season. Anything else, Josh?
No, man, that was beautiful. You're incredible. What you're doing is from such a genuine and authentic place. So a huge shout out to you. Kudos. Thanks for the opportunity to be here. And thanks for everybody involved. Happy holidays, everybody.
All right. Happy holidays, everybody. We're signing off. See y'all later.